Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 6, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist for November 15th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Obi-Wan Play No D, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it's your boy Kusama, the artist formerly known as, and I want to give a shout out to Zach McCray and Anson Jensen for hooking us up with, heeding my request. We could use some reviews and some ratings, so thank you. Shout out to you guys.
Get on that iTunes, rate and review us, and we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian Sarah June.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here. I don't have an alias. Sarah June is already my alias.
Oh, damn.
Oh, that is an alias.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. We won't ask what your legal name is.
Sarah, what's something that you searched in the not-too-distant past that you think is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Well, I did search Tom and Jerry diaper changing video, and I'll tell you why, Alex. It's because it was on Bin Laden's computer. Because I saw those lists of files that were on Bin Laden's computer, and one was a Tom and Jerry, it was like Tom underscore and underscore Jerry underscore diaper dot FLV. And I was like, I gotta find out more. And it turns out there's an episode of Tom and Jerry called Baby Puss, where a bunch of other cats bully Tom and make him treat him like a baby and like put a diaper on him. And the clip of Tom getting his diaper changed is like super popular on YouTube among the diaper freaks.
Oh, nice.
What do you mean, diaper freaks? Like
people that are into diapers sexually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Isn't that legit slang, diaper freak?
Oh, no, that's just me.
I like that. That's why. It sounded cool. I was like, yo, where the diaper freaks at?
It's the sort of thing that someone would say if they were part of that community.
Yeah.
My Google search history speaks for itself.
And in the video, it's like, what are the mechanics of the diaper change? It's like one of those things where they put like a swaddling cloth and like a huge safety pin.
Exactly. So he's got, Tom is already wearing a diaper and being like in a way that now I think we would look at as maybe like, because, we were talking earlier about, the weird fetish videos on YouTube of like people wanting to look at babies and be treated like babies and all this shit. So Tom is already wearing a diaper and then they throw him in a fishbowl and then they're like, uh-oh, his diaper's wet now because he fell in a fucking fishbowl. And then, they grab him and, with cartoon violence, they swaddle him with a reusable cloth, and then they stick him with a huge pin and he goes, yowp, in the classic cartoon fashion.
Yep.
And then they put him in, a cradle.
Cool.
Nice. Forced infancy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's apparently a thing.
Very early forced infancy porn.
Right. Like every single part of that is like part of the fetish.
Right. And the whole point is to humiliate him.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Humiliation.
Yeah, we're learning a lot about this. We actually had one of our writers, J.M. McNabb. The letter's J.M. I'm not saying J.M. McNabb.
His name's not James, it's James.
Right. Jam, we had him look into this very strange, YouTube account, and we're gonna kind of take his report. We're gonna bring his report to you in a future episode, but, YouTube
really
is
horrifying.
Great at sort of documenting all the intricacies of the very strange fetishes that are out there. Sarah, what's something you, think is overrated?
Shoes. I think they're bad and uncomfortable. I don't think we should be wearing them all the time. I don't like it when people wear them in my house.
Well, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
No
shoes in the household?
Yeah. Well, my mom's Japanese, so there's no way you're wearing shoes in my house.
Yeah. No shoes in our house ever. And, you just have to clean more when you wear shoes in the house. It's not worth
it. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You
localize the filth to like your entryway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife is Korean and I became a no shoes in the house person. And it's great other than the fact that I have ADD and I always forget things. And so like I put on my shoes at the door to leave and then I remember
you forgot a thing.
Don't have my pants on.
Right.
Sorry,
did you grow up not wearing shoes in the house?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
You say absolutely, like definitively.
Definitively, like you can't wear. No, that's crazy. Why would you wear shoes? Like it was all I got. We didn't wear shoes in the house. None of our friends wore shoes in the house. And then when I like started hanging out with more white people, I was like, where are all your shoes? And they were like,
yeah, why aren't they at the door?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would walk past the door and be like, where's your shoes? but yeah, like shoes are bad and they make your feet hurt and they fuck with your posture. And, also they hide your feet from you. And this is another white people thing, I think, is I find pedicures kind of weird because it's like the only time that a lot of people take care of their feet. It's as if your feet are too far away for you to deal with. And you're like, I need somebody else to do this for me. Like I need a different person of a different race to like tend to my feet.
Hook my feet up.
Yeah, hook my feet up. That's why, like, people have gross feet. People who don't wear shoes in the house never have gross feet because they got to look at them all the time.
Whoa, I never
thought
about
that. Wow, so, I mean, I'm always wearing socks.
Yeah, that's...
Mm. Also, are you anti-sock?
You're anti-sock?
I'm pretty anti-sock.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, I mean...
But then
I'm
your
pro,
feet...
I'm, no, I'm
you mean
pro...
stink catchers.
I'm pro-sock usage. I just don't like wearing socks.
Okay.
But it's way better than not wearing socks and wearing shoes.
I'm definitely... You have much better feet than me, I think, is what is being revealed, because my feet, like, sweat horribly, and, like, if I didn't wear socks, my shoes would just, like, dissolve.
Oh, no. You should... I also definitely... Anyone who wears shoes without wearing socks is, like, there's something bad going on in there.
Yeah. You're so judgmental.
You can do that.
I'm
like,
extremely judgmental about people's feet.
Well, yeah, stink. Well, because that's the road to Stinktown.
Yeah, cute Hollister girl wearing your Converse, and it's the low tops, and there's no socks, and like, take them off, bitch. Show me what you got.
That's why you wear no-show socks. What about that? That's a happy medium. Oh, wow.
It doesn't really work.
Okay, so we'll have to get into that in a
little bit. They always ride down.
And this is coming from somebody who's wearing Chelsea boots, which we've been informed earlier today while we were brainstorming the episode, are like the cool thing. So she does have footwear.
And she's wearing socks.
Yeah. And I'm wearing Tom and Jerry socks, dude. This one's a rat and the other one's a cat.
That's pretty cool.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Is that a mismatching pair? That's how the pair comes.
That's how the pair comes.
All right. Sarah, what's something you believe to be underrated?
Fyrouza Balk.
Yeah,
we're talking Fyrouza Balk.
Preach.
Lately.
From The Craft.
Really great.
She's also in The Water Boy.
How are we spelling that?
F-A-I-R-U-Z-A space B-A-L-K.
Get it right.
Get it tight.
Fyrouza Balk is great. The Craft, I think, I'm going to recut The Craft to cut out the character Sarah, the current main character, because in my opinion, Fyrouza Balk is the main character in that movie. And it's a Greek tragedy about how, like, she's a genius and no one understands her. And you know, she ends up, in the end, kind of, honestly, it's a King Lear retelling.
What? Okay.
Starring Fyrouza Balk as King Lear. Another thing I think is underrated, figs. A lot of people don't like figs. I think that's...
I don't like fig trees.
What?
Because I used to have one, and the shits would fall down, and, like, the ground would be inundated with figs.
You eat them.
I didn't know you could eat them.
You didn't... What?
Yeah.
You didn't know you could eat fruit?
I thought it was a nuisance plant. I didn't know... Look, I'm...
You had a fig plant. Just dripping manna into your yard, and you were like, ugh.
Look, yo, my mom didn't know about figs. My dad was like, he didn't know. Look, we were fig-nerant.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
I'll
with
forgive
that,
you.
Thank you. Please excuse my fig-nerance.
All right. So let's get into format.
I'll fig-excuse your fig-nerance.
The Daily Zeitgeist, we are trying to get a sense of, you know, the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics, the president, and news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. It's all contributing to the great national, international unconscience. So, Sarah, is there a myth or something in the media that sort of sticks out to you as something that people get wrong, either in movies or just in the news?
One big one is the myth that Israel is a secular democracy in the Middle East and an outpost of American values. But actually, it's an apartheid ethnostate. It's a big con.
I think yes, the news doesn't cover much of that.
No,
yes.
Yeah,
that is not an opinion you see in the news very often.
Well, I think it's easy because when there is coverage like that, inherently people come out and sort of label it as anti-Semitic.
Absolutely. And sometimes it is. But,
right, yeah, absolutely.
But anti-Zionism is not the same thing as anti-Semitism. You know, it's hard to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be anti-Semitic.
Right.
And I certainly don't.
Yeah.
The way that a state runs doesn't have to do with the religion of the people.
Absolutely, right.
So.
Right. Yeah, objectively.
But, you know, I totally understand why people would be very worried about anti-Semitism, because it's a big thing.
All right. Well, we have to move on to apparently Blake Shelton is the sexiest man alive, you guys.
What?
What?
Blake Shelton?
What? Yeah. Now, this is frustrating because, like, part of his brand is being, like, a big, doofy, friendly homophobe.
What is he? Also, is he a singer or an actor?
A singer.
Country,
okay.
Yeah.
He's a singer. He's married to Gwen Stefani.
Are you sure he's not just a potato that somebody put eyes in?
I mean, he has a nice face, but sexiest man alive. Again, people also, they're, like, really outraged. Like, how the fuck is he sexiest man alive? It's called a publicist.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, you know, working a deal with people. It has nothing to do with objectively. People are like, hey, guys, let's get together. Who's the sexiest man alive?
I think Russia meddled in the sexiest man alive elections. Yeah.
Mad bot votes were going down on that Twitter.
A lot of bot activity.
Okay, so let's get a quick sampling of what the sexiest man alive's Twitter is like. Let's see. January 10th. Question for my gay followers. Are Skittles y'all's favorite candy? Okay.
Oh, because of the rainbow. Cool.
Exactly.
Cool,
that's
cool,
hot.
Cool.
I see
is
why
that even
is sexy.
Homophobic, yes. Or is that just like...
That's just a hack open mic joke.
Yeah, that's just a bad joke.
Let's see. What's next?
Also, what gay followers?
Right, yeah.
I think people just from The Voice, because that's where he was like probably got his main mainstream introduction.
Gwen Stefani definitely probably has some fans and in the gay community, and maybe he's getting some like sort of runoff Gwen Stefani fandom.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if you're gay, you can still be a country music fan, but you have to be racist. You have to be a gay racist.
Right.
And here's another one, you know, because his gaydar is really on point. Standing in line at a coffee shop in L.A., talking with the man in front of me. He orders a skinny caramel latte. I couldn't tell he was gay.
Oh.
Burn for people drinking skinny caramel lattes.
Wow. Fancy coffees.
So
try it out at Flappers, Blake.
Yeah.
That's some hot stuff.
And another one is very interesting. If you haven't noticed Richard Simmons is gay, you haven't noticed Katy Perry's boobs. I don't even know where that...
That analogy is not an analogy.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so strange. Like, just that... How did that happen?
If you
happen?
Don't know this man's gay, you don't know that I'm straight.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm straight as hell.
So straight.
I'm not gay, but I think Ellen is hot. Wait a minute. What? That's another tweet.
What?
You're right. He is the sexiest man in the world. I just came.
Yeah, and I think this one is actually kind of is more darker. But he's like rewriting my favorite Shania Twain song. Any man that tries touching my behind, he's gonna be a beating, bleeding, heaving kind of guy.
Because hate crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny. Yeah. Yeah. Let's you know.
It's pronounced hate crimes.
Hate crimes.
So again, yeah.
Is it a hate crime if I beat up? I don't even want to like do fake tweets.
Yeah, look, this is just you know, these are his old tweets, and then he did. This is his apology in true guy who's been outed for his problematic tweets, saying, "Everybody knows comedy has been a major part of my career, and it's always been out there for anyone to see." That said, anyone that knows me also knows I have no tolerance for hate of any kind of form. Can my humor at times be inappropriate, immature? Yes. Hateful? Never. That said, I deeply apologize to anybody who may have been offended.
Right.
Not that I made
I'm
offensive
remarks.
I'm sorry
for the emotions that occurred in you by accident.
I'm
like,
sorry
because
that,
of something going on with you.
I'm sorry that you were so much of a snowflake.
Right, exactly.
And hey, man, everybody knows I'm like one of the top comedians in the game.
Right, so, yeah, what?
What's the fucking problem here?
Everybody knows that comedy has been a big part of his career.
I don't know. I mean, I can't say that for sure. I don't think of him as like a joke country singer, like a parody comedian singer. Yeah. So.
And I mean, I don't think of him at all, to be fair. So, I am not an expert on Blake Shelton. Anthony Oliveira, Mia Koopa on Twitter tweeted, "Blake Shelton is not even the sexiest. One, Gwen Stefani's spouse. That would be Gavin Rosdell. Two, country singer Steve Grant. Three, voice guy Adam Levine. Four, Blake Lively. Five, racist Dean Cain." That is a great tweet.
Poor Dean Cain. Whenever I see him on Fox, like, I just get so bummed out.
Why do you watch Fox? You're just
asking. For this show. Like, I just have to, like, you know, you interact with clips and see, like, him there, and I'm like, damn, yo, when the money dries out, like, you do whatever you can. Or he's just been a fucking racist the whole time.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
Ah, well.
He's not looking good, by the way.
This is why nobody should ever do comedy, I think, is the moral of the Blake Shelton story.
Right.
Nobody should ever do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Again, and I just want to leave you with one last Blake Shelton tweet before we move on. "Wish the dickhead in the next room would either shut up or learn some English so I would at least know what he's planning to bomb."
Jesus Christ.
Come on, man. That's sexy to y'all?
Jesus fucking Christ.
No, but I mean, it is. He is one of the top comedians out
Comedy
there.
Comedy is a really big part of his shitty singing career.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, man.
Well, look, cool. You know, Twitter.
No, this is Trump's sexiest man alive. Really,
right.
It is. This is
2017.
This is
where
propaganda. We're just gonna, I guess, pretend Idris Elba doesn't exist. And then yes, yeah, I guess Blake Shelton. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. So your pick is Idris Elba.
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool. What about you, Jack? Don't say
Idris
yourself.
Idris Elba's good. The Rock wasn't bad last year.
Oh,
although,
The Rock is good too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I support The Rock.
Yeah.
I support Idris Elba, who's also an Arsenal fan. So
yeah.
Shout-outs to you, Idris.
Ben Simmons
is going to call
from
in.
The 76ers.
Ben Simmons. Wow. Look
yeah.
at you.
If yeah, you man. Couldn't tell that Ben Simmons is gay.
Have you seen him pull up for three?
Have you seen his jump shot? Thing is busted, man.
Look, we're more crooked than Lonzo Ball's form.
Anyway, I love pussy.
Hashtag
this
love pussy.
This is Blake
pussy.
Shelton signing off saying, hashtag love pussy. Let's move on to our president, the man who makes it Trump's America, Donald Trump himself. He's coming off his big Asia trip, which I didn't realize this was the longest presidential trip since George H.W. Bush did an Asia trip that ended with him vomiting
on Japan?
The Japanese prime minister.
Yeah.
What?
That was legendary.
Yeah. So, and
Boom
Trump
rally, dude.
Yeah.
Trump is trying to brag about his stamina. I think that's why he did that. He's
yeah, or
like,
shit was just getting so bad. He's like, hey, man, can we just do like a really long trip?
Well, I feel
so
like they said, they were like, we need to get him out of
yeah,
the country.
Get him
for
the
a
fuck
while.
Out of here.
Right.
We'll talk about some the most problematic stop on that tour a little later on, but
Trump's going to get assassinated, but not on purpose. He's just going to be in a mall, and there's going to be a mass shooting.
Just accidentally,
yeah. He's going to get
some runoff
assassination. Assassinated. Yeah.
So the thing that he's talking about right now, the UCLA basketball players who were being held in a hotel in China. Because they were caught shoplifting. One of them is Lonzo Ball's little brother. They are on their way back to the United States, where they will probably be promptly kicked off the UCLA basketball team.
Worth it. Shoplifting is good.
Right. Shoplifting, so fun. Because when your brother is just signed like a multi-million dollar contract, you can't get like a belt or no, wasn't it sunglasses?
It's
yeah,
the principle
sunglasses.
Of the thing.
Right. And plus China's usually cool about stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I don't see what the big deal is. But anyways, Trump had spoken with, Xi Jinping and, asked him to, you know, be nice to these guys and maybe consider letting them go. They were let go, and Trump tweeted, do you think the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you, President Trump? They were headed for 10 years in jail, which was like the maximum prison sentence for stealing. So I don't know. It's just he's looking for just kind of a layup of positive, easy good press.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I got the basketball playing shoplifters out of trouble. Although what's funny is a guy who I went to school with, Arash Markazi, who writes for ESPN, he went to China with the team and was there during all of it. And while he was there, like from the people he was speaking to on the Chinese side, were saying it was probably going to be 1 to 2 weeks at most. So even before Trump, I think, even spoke with Xi Jinping, like, they were already being like, look, it'll probably be like a week or two or something. So it's not like, I don't know. Again, hey, easy bucket for Trump.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to my alma mater. Georgetown went over to China and had just like a bench clearing, like violent brawl with like a Chinese basketball team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how you have an international incident.
See, that's your alma mater. And my alma mater, UCLA, they're stealing shit.
Right. Exactly.
I want to fly to China to steal a belt.
Right.
Yeah. Even though my brother is like the top draft pick.
Where else are you going to get a belt that's made in China?
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after these messages.
Yeah, there's only one thing I love more than pound of pussy, and that's eating titty.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to tell.
Hashtag eating titty.
And we're back. So, yeah, Trump was in Asia. The entire Asia trip, I was listening to think it's Pod Save the World, which is a great podcast. It's one of the guys who was in the Obama administration, Tommy Vietor. He interviews people who have a lot of experience in international relations, and he was interviewing this guy who was a diplomat to a bunch of different Asian countries, I think, and like traveled with Obama on his Asian trips. And he was saying that basically these trips are, you know how Trump kind of sees everything, sees all international relationships as sort of zero-sum games where it's like, if they're getting a good deal, then we're getting screwed and vice versa.
Right, right.
Which is probably too simplistic when you're talking about, you know, financial transactions. Like we
he
have,
does see it as a pissing contest. He sees everything as a pissing contest, including sex.
Right. But so the one place that it actually is a zero-sum game is... By the way, that joke was really good. We just... I don't know why we didn't laugh at it, but...
Well, it's... Okay.
Hey.
I'm still processing it.
Yeah.
Are we talking about actual pee-pee?
It was a piss tape joke. I'm sorry. Are you guys not constantly thinking about the piss tapes?
I am more than I like to think about it, but I was barred from talking about it again in the office because I'm obsessed with it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've recently, every time I have to go to the bathroom now, I just say, like, I'm about to go stay at the Moscow Ritz-Carlton or I'm about to go drop a tape. You know, yeah. It's my new thing.
In the presidential suite.
Everyone loves it.
But so the way this diplomat was describing it, he was saying that when you are on this trip, you have to be like super careful about how you interact with different countries and how you comport yourself around other leaders.
You don't say.
Trump is really good at that.
So the way he's kind of like deferential around other leaders in a lot of cases, not the ones that he should be deferential around.
The ones that fucking matter.
Right. Like not,
just other dictators.
Angela Merkel, but, right. So by giving deference to China and the Chinese leaders, he's making our allies feel sort of unprotected and giving China leverage to claim that like they're the world leader now. And I don't know, it was just interesting to hear a critique of sort of how he was comporting himself on this, because it was like a subtlety that I wasn't really reading as I was watching him sort of sit down with these other leaders. And I just feel like he's not capable of being tough or stoic in the face of actual human beings. Like, he's good at throwing bombs from a distance or like on Twitter, but he sort of fucked this up from a diplomatic perspective because he's very fragile, like in terms of his emotions. So his last trip was the Philippines with Duterte, who is a straight up dictator who, since coming to power, has just started straight up murdering drug users and drug dealers.
He not only does he murder journalists, but he like publicly jokes about murdering journalists.
Yeah, or he'll say like, you know, the Constitution doesn't protect you. Or
right,
things
right,
like
right. Well, comedy's a big part of his career.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Came up as he was coming.
Well,
up.
Yeah, and like with all these people being killed, like he's told, you know, policemen, he's like that they will be pardoned like without question if like they're caught up in something. With
yeah, there's
them
no
killing drug
there's
dealers.
No dog whistles here.
Yeah, right. No, just straight up. Hey, open season.
Yeah. He had a quote that said, just because you're a journalist, you're not exempted from assassination if you are a son of a bitch. Free speech won't save you, my dear, was a direct quote.
Is and he a fucking Bond villain?
Yeah,
right.
And at a press conference with Trump, Duterte yelled at the press, calling them spies. And Trump was sitting there and he like laughed his ass off like, ha, yeah, the press, they're the worst, right?
These guys.
They're terrible, always writing down what I say.
Right. So, I don't know. There were a bunch of really strange things. He appeared, so there was a sit-down where Americans were hoping that he would sort of bring up the insane human rights abuses that are taking place in the Philippines. Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that, like, he politely brought up the human rights sort of issue, but like didn't make a big deal about it.
No.
He, quote, appeared sympathetic and did not have any official position on the matter and was merely nodding his head, indicating that he understood the domestic problem that we faced on drugs. By the way, the Philippines didn't like have a, like this was not a top issue when he came into power, the whole drug thing. It's just a thing that he sort of made his like number one issue. And, you know, there are stories that his son has a problem with drugs and that's like partially why he's, you know, why this is so important to him.
It's like Trump and his weird anti-vax tangent.
Right.
Well, you know, like with like in the Philippines in general, I was reading this article in Time that was like talking about the culture of like impunity that exists in Filipino politics. And a lot of the reason why people like felt that, you know, there was all kinds of like the political system was really out of whack. Like after an election, like people would abandon their party just to join like the winning candidate. And it's like very flexible and fluid. And it's completely different than like so foreign to even what we believe our like political system be completely fucked. And at the time, like, Duterte was, like, claiming, like, you know, he's going to fix all of this. And I think that was one of the reasons why people had, like, such high hopes for him.
It sounds
initially.
Exactly like Trump.
Yeah. So, no, exactly.
I'm going to drain this swamp. I'm going to clear out the riffraff.
That's the thing that kept coming up as I was reading about Duterte's rise to power is, so the Philippines is one of the most social media involved countries in the world. Like they're very plugged in
online
from a social media perspective, and Duterte is also like really plugged in on social media. And I don't know, they both have like there's just so many similarities between them. Like a journalist in the Philippines like a couple years ago was like, there's no such thing as a slow news day in the Philippines since Duterte arrived. Then it's
sounds
like
familiar.
Yeah, that is exactly what Trump's rise was like. They both have like a deep abiding hatred for President Obama based on like a single perceived personal slight. Like Obama had a single meeting with Duterte and he like got really pissed about it's not totally clear. He spends all his weekends on his home island, which is very like reminiscent of Mar-a-Lago. It's like uncommon for the Filipino leader to do that, but he is like, nah, this is where I'm comfortable. So I feel like, I don't know. It did make me wonder, is this like a personality type that is just going to have an advantage in our era of social media, just like by being sort of just filling up all channels with their, you know, outsized personality defects? Will that just be sort of how things go until we alter whatever the algorithms or something?
It's hard to know.
Right.
But I know like initially he had a really high approval rating, like 91%. But now, like, I think they're what, like 16 months or so into his presidency. Like, his support is starting to wane because they're seeing, like, this is not.
Well, I think so. Like, to answer your question, yeah. Like, a charismatic, rich piece of shit who doesn't really do anything and only cares about his own interests and is in power just to accumulate more power and money. Like, that's not a new type, but it's certainly aided by the era of social media because now it's harder to cover things up. So instead of just being quiet about the murders and shit you do, you just yell a bunch about other stuff and distract people constantly so they don't notice that you're, you know, exploiting them.
Right. Or you yell about your own murders, but like make yourself sound tough. So
well,
people like,
again, this, like in this Time article, like it's a very unique ecosystem that he's operating in because, you know, for example, the former president, Joseph Estrada, he was sentenced to like life in prison for plundering like almost like more over $80 million. And then he was pardoned by his successor. And now he's the mayor of Manila. Or at the time of the writing of this article, he's now the mayor of Manila.
Wow.
And it gets like worse. There was a congressman who was serving two life sentences for raping an 11-year-old girl, won re-election twice from jail, and like was able to play tennis on the court he built in like a maximum security prison.
Okay, Philippines is next level America.
They're
like 10 years ahead of us.
This culture of impunity is, I think, is also like, you know, combining that with his personality type, it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, straight up Trump probably went there to be like, how can I make this happen for me?
Right.
Like, what do you know, hook me up, dude.
Yeah, it does. I do worry about him getting some ideas, like being like,
it's okay, he can't process anything.
Right. But the...
Did Jared go?
No, I think he's probably still looking for money somewhere. Mm. And if he was, he was probably there to just be like, can I talk to some rich guys?
Please.
But going back to the Facebook thing, like the guy who invented loudspeakers and like just the idea of loudspeakers in the early 20th century, like blamed himself for the rise of fascism.
Whoa.
Because he felt like, you know, the fact that people were able to project their voices into like huge groups of people was essentially what led to the rise of fascism. So like, I do wonder if we're sort of not paying enough attention to, you know, the role of Facebook and like how social media allows you to just get, allows a person with a big forceful personality to like just get right into people's veins, you know?
Yeah. It's like the worst form of targeted advertising.
Right.
Yeah, you make the site indispensable to people's lives. You add in all of these elements so that it becomes a home base, and basically all the internet is to a lot of people. It's just Facebook. Everything filters through Facebook, and then Facebook is in total control of what you see and what you do and what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. But
gotta worship that algorithm.
Yeah. But going back to so this specific trip, it opened with Duterte bragging about the first time he murdered someone.
Cool. So just like prison?
Right. Said, at the age of 16, I killed somebody. I stabbed him only because our eyes met. Which actually kind of sounds like the intro to...
Liquid Swords.
Yeah, Liquid Swords.
Fucking Trump probably pooped his diaper when he
right.
did that.
He's
like, I'm not that tough.
That's so cool. It ended with Duterte singing a song, like a Filipino love song that he claimed was requested by Trump. And I think we have audio of that, if I'm not mistaken. It's beautiful, really. Don't hurt us.
So this is
this translates to, you are the light in my world, a half of this heart of mine. Said that was at the request of the commander in chief of the United States. So
this sounds like a David Lynch movie. Like this whole clip, it could have come from fucking Blue Velvet.
Yeah.
God, what a terrifying party to be at, where you're like,
right.
Yo, now I gotta pretend I like that shit.
Yeah, you gotta laugh at that guy's jokes right. loud.
Ha, you're the best, boss! It's like that scene in Sopranos when he like looks around and everybody's laughing at his jokes.
And he's not sure if they're like just right. sycophants or like, or he's actually killing it.
Right.
What, I'm like a clown to you?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, going back to like, Obama would be very careful about just how he like sat or how he shook the hand of another foreign leader, because you didn't want to go too far or not far enough in terms of how you conduct yourself on like diplomatic visits. And Trump is like requesting love songs and having love songs sung to him by a guy who's going to go down in history as like one of the scariest, like most murderous dictators of our time.
It's because Trump doesn't look at himself as a representative of the people of the United States or the government of the United States. He walks around like he's like he was voted most popular dude in America.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and that's like his responsibility. He's like, hey man, we're having a good time. Like,
yeah,
I'll
cool
wear this
guy.
Weird shirt. Like,
oh yeah, they wore matching shirts. That's also worth checking out. I mean, I'm sure that wasn't necessarily his call, but they all are wearing fun matching shirts. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So we wanted to check in with Judge Roy Moore, see how things are going down there for him.
Man of the people, Roy Moore.
Man of a very specific demographic of people.
Man of the pedos.
Right.
Yeah, oh, there we go.
So a few days ago, there was obviously the fifth accuser. We were recently reading about a mall in his town where he was, like, the one picture of the guy who, like, if you saw him creeping around, you had to kick him out because a lot of teenagers hung out at that mall, and he was just always there hitting on the teenagers. Like,
yeah, so you get banned from the mall like any pedophile would.
Right, he's just the local pedophile. And
that's not a smear campaign from the devil.
Right.
That's your own fucking evil catching up to you, my man.
That's mall security.
Right. Yeah,
being like Paul Blart being a hero.
Right. The New Yorker article that I read just interviewed mall security people, and they were like, yeah, don't say our name because we don't want to like get thrown in jail. But yeah, it was well known that he was the guy to watch out for because he kept asking girls who were like shopping or hanging around the mall to like come into his car.
Wow. Dude, when I would go to the mall, like, with my boyfriend, he wouldn't even go into the Claire's with me. He was like, I don't want people to think I'm a fucking pedophile. And I was like, I just want hoop earrings for $3.
Wait, but he was your age, presumably, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean now?
Yes, yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Got
now,
you. No, oh, because he doesn't want to be a grown man
no,
in the
Claire's. I didn't have a boyfriend in high school.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm trying to picture.
No, my grown man boyfriend, who was not a pedophile, was like, I will wait in another store while you go to the Claire's, because I will not go into a Claire's
but
for
just,
my reputation.
But stick by your side. I think that visual will be clear, but I just like that he's
That's
so opposed to being like the man who is inside of a Claire's.
He did look like a weed dealer, so like he, you know, he had gotten this before, I think.
I also really like that being a way to refer to a boyfriend as, so my grown man boyfriend who's not a pedophile, like my boyfriend from Canada, my grown man boyfriend, not a pedophile, by the way.
Noted.
So that came out. It's people are pretty much ditching him left and right. Even Bannon, who he was kind of Bannon's guy that he brought in.
He hasn't publicly distanced himself yet,
right.
But it seems like there are a few reports
that he's considering it. The headline on Drudge as we record this is Bannon turns on Judge Whore. So Drudge has clearly turned on him and is calling him Judge Whore now.
Even the Drudge report has a line.
Drudge is being a little judgy.
Yeah,
honestly,
exactly.
I think.
So there's also a couple other things. So there is a robocall that went out that's kind of amazing.
It's wild because a lot of this story, you know, he has a huge beef. Roy Moore has a huge beef with the Washington Post for breaking a lot of these stories. And to discredit him, we don't know where this robocall came from. They basically created a fictitious journalist. And I'll let you decide the other details of what this person's identity is.
Right.
But check out this robocall that is going out in Alabama at the moment to basically help Roy Moore's case, I guess?
Yeah. It's clearly Roy Moore's version of like what a East Coast journalist is.
Hi, this is Lenny Bernstein. I'm a reporter for the Washington Post. I'm calling to find out if anyone at this address is a female between the ages of 54 to 57 years old, willing to make damaging remarks about candidate Roy Moore, for a reward of between $5,000 to $7,000. We will not be fully investigating these claims. However, we will need a written report. I can be reached by email, lbernstein@washingtonpost.com. Thank you.
Bernie Bernstein.
He, by the way, that email address, they didn't even bother, like, making an email address.
Well, you couldn't, like, because that would have to be from the Washington Post.
Oh, right,
Post,
right.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
no matter how hard you tried.
As return to sender.
So yeah, a total smear on actual journalists.
Right.
And then using like the most base, like stereotypical Jewish accent.
Right.
Although it went into Boston a few times, like Remax.
What I really want to know about this call is who was the actor that they paid $70 to record this?
Someone who's like, hey, can you do like a sort of East Coast Jewish guy voice?
Yeah. And
we want you to do kind of a East Coast liberal media elite, college educated. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean?
Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, we want you to do a triple parentheses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His name is Bernie Bernstein.
Who wrote this? Who wrote
who
this
knows?
Call?
It's awful.
That's a first draft sneaky Jew name. Like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you at least, after hearing it said aloud, be like, maybe we should...
Maybe a little more nuanced.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know why, again, like, why does the guy have to be Jewish? Like, if you're going after the Washington Post, it smacks of all the evil things of this guy's worldview.
Right. I think it's honestly because he's trying to associate the Washington Post with something that his constituents are already suspicious of, which is a Jew.
Because they're Christians,
right. So people in Alabama would immediately be like, oh, this guy, I already don't like him.
Makes sense.
It's
whole
crazy
media conspiracy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like a fucking throwaway SNL character. Like,
yeah.
That someone failed in their audition, and they're like, okay,
I
shouldn't do that character.
I have to believe Alabamans are smarter than that and are not falling for that.
Oh, they certainly are.
Well, there are. I mean, like, it seems like, I mean.
But, okay, again, like, my, you know, old people sometimes don't know the difference between, like, because robocalls are kind of a new thing. I mean,
right.
There are people who just don't know that that shit exists. Like, my aunt fucking clicked on a scam thing that, like, looked like a newspaper article, you know?
And it, like, just melted her computer.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
She, like, well, yeah, it was bad. But, you know, when something's framed like that, especially, like, people that aren't super online will be like, yeah, why shouldn't I believe this?
Right. I like that he clarifies. We won't be actually investigating the reports. We just want to.
Well, and also I think when they do that, right, it's like a tactic to make it seem like a leak. You know,
right.
Like, can you believe what they're doing? You
right.
know,
just, yeah.
And it's all, well, the crazy thing too is it looks like, you know, in the polls, Doug Jones, who's a Democratic candidate, he looks like he has an advantage. There are a couple of journalists in Alabama that still think Roy Moore has a chance if he stays in the race, which is a whole other thing. Because now everyone is like, except for Sean Hannity, is telling him to get the fuck out the way because
right.
you are a pedophile.
Well, the right. polls say, I saw a poll that was like, in light of Roy Moore's, you know, what came out about him, are you more likely, less likely, or no difference in whether or not you would vote for him? And it was like pretty evenly split
yeah.
with like a good 30-something percent saying more likely.
Right.
Because they feel he's being targeted in the media
right.
for his totally healthy and normal targeting of teens at a mall.
Right. And he was actually appeared at some kind of conservative Christian values, like, event last night, and they gave him a standing ovation
mm-hmm.
when he walked in. And he was, like, shaking hands with kids. So it's that. Right. I mean, so who knows? I mean, like, the options are, like, he stays in and wins, and then they immediately do an ethics investigation to unseat him, but that hasn't happened in since the 1860s, I think, when senators were removed for supporting the Confederacy.
Oh yeah,
I heard about that. And then there's guys I think John Ensign, who was another senator who had to he had an ethics investigation that would have unseated him, but he resigned before. A lot of people who have done this, they typically resign before the investigation is concluded, but then that messes up the vote math in the Senate, because it's already close. Like, then if Doug Jones wins, like, we're talking a much closer Senate. It's all very tight.
Yeah.
So they're all, like, trying to figure out, like, what do we do? Do we have Jeff Sessions come back? Do we, you know, does Trump ask him to leave?
Yeah, they've got people doing a lot of weird math, trying
yeah,
to work it out.
But, I mean, you should have known, like, this is what happens when you allow this kind of, like, rhetoric to enter your party.
Yeah,
like,
maybe you should have made Roy Moore do a little more math
yeah.
before he started hitting on 16-year-olds.
Right.
Hey guys, let's play a little game. Let's play Roy Moore or R. Kelly. This is a website that somebody put up.
So my really good friend Allie, shout out to you in Brooklyn, showed me this website called Roy Moore or rkelly.com, and it basically has an anecdote or an actual story or testimony of something that happened. And you're supposed to guess if this was Roy Moore's actions or R. Kelly's actions. And this is a very difficult game to play because
mm-hmm.
these people are both disgusting fucking predators.
Right.
So
it's not like married Aaliyah when she was 15.
No.
It's not recorded remix to Ignition.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body got every man in here wishing that you were 18 years old. So I'll hit you with the first one. And then you tell me if this is Roy Moore or R. Kelly
okay.
that did this. Blank allegedly picked up a 16-year-old girl at the courthouse outside a hearing. She says he was aware of her age and seemed excited by it.
Roy Moore.
Okay.
R. Kelly.
It's R. Kelly.
What?
Yep. Yeah.
Outside of, wasn't it his trial for, like, sexual abuse?
I think so. Yeah. How about this one? Blank allegedly picked up an 18-year-old girl who was working at the jewelry counter at the mall, then took her to a Chinese restaurant with a bottle of rosé wine.
That sounds like an R. Kelly move.
Guess
sounds
what?
Like Roy Moore.
It's a Roy Moore move.
You know, I should have known because of the mall.
The mall,
but
yeah.
But
the
rosé
yeah.
made me think.
Right.
R. Kelly.
Okay, let's do another one. Blank allegedly met a 14-year-old girl when she was working as an elf in Santa's workshop at the mall and told her she was, quote, pretty. 2 years later, he saw her at the same mall and asked her out on dates in front of her mother.
Roy Moore.
Ding, ding, ding. What gave it away?
It was all the mall shit.
And the mother's permission, maybe?
Oh yeah, the mother's permission, right?
Yeah.
Did she
give permission?
Wasn't that one of his defenses?
Yeah, he was like, I never dated anyone without their mother's permission.
Yeah, you didn't
Holy
hear that.
Holy fucking shit!
Isn't that amazing?
Wow, how old was he at the time?
I don't. This was probably
30s.
him being
probably in his 30s. Wow, Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Never dated anyone without their mother's permission. Bro.
So, yeah, again, this website at the end, once it you do complete the game, it does, like, sort of redirect you to donate to some good nonprofit charities.
Very nice.
So it's not just there purely to be salacious, but it is, again, very disturbing when you put these things
together. Can we do any more? I
want
to.
You want another one?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do one more. Blank allegedly picked up a 14-year-old girl at the courthouse outside her own parental custody hearing. He took her to his house after dark, disappeared into his bedroom, and reappeared wearing only tidy whitey underwear.
This has to be Roy Moore.
Yeah, that's Roy Moore. That's...
R. Kelly would never wear tidy whities.
Yeah.
What, you think he just wears, like, leopard skin everything?
Yeah.
He has to.
Leopard skin banana hammock?
Yeah, I don't see him wearing anything but, like...
Gold lame.
Exactly. Yeah. Just leafed on.
Wow. Okay, hold on. I need a minute.
Yeah.
Getting preyed upon by an older man outside your parental custody hearing is really a new low.
Oh, let's just do one last one.
Blank, are you gonna top that?
Blank allegedly took a 17-year-old girl to his home so he could read her his poetry and play her his music.
That's R. Kelly.
That's Roy Moore.
Shut the fuck
what?
Up.
Yes.
That's Roy Moore?
It's in a Washington Post article. Yo, this,
no
it's,
way.
Wait, what?
Yo, this is
his music?
Leak the tapes. What are these recordings?
I do not
Where's
know.
Where's his chat book?
I do not know. I think this is from the same woman when they broke the story who Lee Korfman.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I want to hear his poetry that he read to.
It's like Dr. Seuss mixed with, like, who knows.
Right.
I want to fuck. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter that you're a teen.
Right. Ooh, there it is. All right. So you have some experience in writing this sort of poetry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
With your totally adult, not a pedophile boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
She ghostwrites pedophile poems.
Sarah, where can people follow you on the social medias?
You can go to my website, heysarahjune.com. You can follow me on Twitter at heysarahjune, and you can follow my podcast, Left Coast, at Left Coast Pod on Twitter.
Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, it turns out, at Miles of Gray.
Turns out, you just found that out?
I just found that out.
Oh, man, I could have told you that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm dealing with a lot right now.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page called The Daily Zeitgeist. And you can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our footnotes.
Now.
And that's a section where you can see all the links to all of the sources that we used today. I want to give a quick recommendation of another podcast I listened to this morning. That's really good. Pod Save the People this week. The name of the episode is Race to Zero, starting at 45:50. He has an interview with Mirza Baradaran, and at the 51-minute moment, they talk about the best answer to the, like, if you ever have a white friend who's like, can't they just get over it? It's been so long since slavery or Jim Crow or whatever. They answer that definitively. They explain why that's insane and what redlining is and all the actual laws that affected, you know, your family differently than other people's families. Yeah, it's a great show. I suggest you check it out.
Yeah. Wrap your mind around institutionalized racism.
Yeah. And while you're listening to podcasts, go over to our podcast and give us a good review, you guys.
And go to my podcast too, please.
Yeah. Please. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.